For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Ozempic and Semaglutide podcast. Get ready to hear from best-selling healthcare author Dr. Josh Luke as he facilitates a discussion on healthy weight loss and living healthy. And now, here's your host, Dr. Josh Luke.
Hey, folks, welcome to part two. If you didn't listen to part one with my guest, Maggie Irby, she's like she's my hero, a 16-year-old young lady crushing life in Missouri as a high school cheerleader. She's dropped 100 pounds in the last 5 years. She's got a few more that she wants to get off, but just her perspective on life, being a girl dad, her perspective on life is awesome. Maggie, welcome back to the show. And Mom Erica, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having us.
I know Dad Brett's hiding to the side over there. I'm going to show Brett, let him wave to us. I'll start by, hey, Brett, I want to compliment you again, being a girl dad. One of the things the article said is at a football game, after Maggie had started to drop a lot of this weight and people can't help themselves trying to compliment and say something nice, somebody comes up to you and says, wow, Maggie looks so pretty. And your response was what?
I thought she's always been pretty.
That's right. And that's a great girl, Dad, because that's the truth inside and out. And that's the way it should be. I know with my daughter, who's now just about to her 21st birthday, the one thing I've always said to her is we're going to raise a strong and independent young lady. That's the only rule we have. If you can do that. And even as early as junior high, we said, hey, and this is where my Taylor Swift connection to my daughter came in. We're going to shake it off. And I literally would do the shake it off. If you have a bad day, because I told her, you know, girls are going to be way tougher than guys. And that's what we're going to talk about on this episode. But if you got one night, when you wake up the next morning, you're going to shake it off and it's a new day. And my daughter's been pretty awesome in that regard. And I'm very proud that we've raised a strong and independent young woman that doesn't need anybody but herself to be successful. And I see that same thing in your daughter. So congratulations.
You're a good father.
All right. So let's go back to Maggie now and talk about that. So, wow. Before, really, as you're going into middle school, you start dropping all this weight. And did you keep it a secret from, okay, just to set the table, if you haven't listened to part one of the show, at age 13, Maggie got put on a GLP-1 agonist, a form of semaglutide or Ozempic called Victoza. Her parents were able to access it at a more affordable rate because of a pharmacy program there in their town in Missouri. And so Maggie started dropping some weight and then also had gastric bypass surgery. And over the course of the next couple of years, lost about 100 pounds. But at some point in there, you tried out for cheerleading as well. So let's answer the first question. Did you guys keep it a secret at first, or was it kind of out there? Because you guys were doing this since you were in elementary school, going to clinics and stuff.
Mm-hmm. The surgery was never a secret. And really, it was never our intention for the medicine, the GLP-1 agonist. That was never our intention for that to be a secret either. But it kind of has turned out that way, which is weird. The reason why Maggie was originally prescribed the Victoza was because she did have fatty liver disease. And before she had surgery, they wanted her to lose just a little bit of weight. A little bit of extra weight so that the surgery would go easier because her liver would not be enlarged.
Okay.
So that was the original plan. Also, the original plan was that she would stop taking it once she had had the surgery. But once she had the surgery and we did their follow-up appointments, we noticed, her doctors noticed that she really wasn't losing weight at the rate that they expected to see. And so we did a double whammy of the surgery plus the Victoza. Mm-hmm. And that was ultimately because even though her stomach was small and she couldn't eat as much, she still wanted to. And so she would eat and she would get sick. You know, she had that, what do they call it? Dumping syndrome or whatever it is that people get after they have gastric bypass surgery or gastric sleeve surgery in this case, which is, from what I understand, a safer alternative, especially for youth, because it can be altered, I think. So then they put her back on the Ozempic. And that's what I really loved about her doctors is that, or not Ozempic, I'm sorry, I keep saying that, but I mean Victoza. That's what I've always really loved about her doctors is they have said from the get-go, like, you know, this is something that you're going to be dealing with for your whole life. And the strategy that works for you now is not necessarily the strategy that's going to work for you forever. And so, you know, when you ask whether or not she's going to be on the medicine for the long haul, we really don't know that. Yeah. She will continue with these doctors until she's 18. When she ages out of the children's clinic, then she can go to an adult clinic. We already have a doctor lined up. Yeah. You know, these are decisions that she will make with her healthcare provider the rest of her life. And it may or may not include a medicine. But for right now, that is really working for her.
It's such a cool story. And how did you start cheerleading after you started to shed the pounds, or was that something you were already doing?
I did it in middle school. And I didn't like it because I didn't like how big I was and how the uniform fit. So then I quit. And so then when I lost the weight, I did it sophomore year. I tried out for cheer and I made the team. And so I'm going to do it junior year too.
That's so great. So and did I make this up in my head? You can tell I'm kind of a dance and cheer dad, but were you kind of defaulted to being a base when you were in middle school because of your weight? Did I make that up in my head?
No, that's pretty much how it is. Yeah. Okay.
Are you still doing the base?
Yeah. It's either base or back spot. You switch between.
Okay. But you guys do comp and sideline at your high school cheer, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. That's competition for you non-cheer parents and Friday night sideline. So hey folks, if you didn't yet download episode one or part one of this interview, you need to, because it was probably the most compelling interview we've done so far on this podcast. I met these two wonderful young ladies by reading an article on thecut.com, CUT.com, by Lisa Miller that appeared in December of 2023, titled "An American Girlhood in the Ozempic Era. Adults are divided about giving children new drugs for weight loss at 13. Maggie Irby decided to take them. And she's such a brave young lady. She's sophomore in high school now, 16 years old. And she's made the cheerleading team. She's living her dream. Probably something that may not have been possible had she not been on this journey. And some of the things that we all know exist, but you may not know how formal they are, is there's something out there called the fat acceptance movement. In the article, it said their push is to stop conflating larger bodies with illness, and still very controversial. But Maggie and her parents have been active with the Obesity Action Coalition. I want to talk to you about that, and then also get into some of the positive research that's been coming out from the American Academy of Pediatrics and their recommendation. They're now recommending, from what I understand, the exact process that you went through. So can you talk about how you got exposed to the Obesity Action Coalition?
Yeah, so of course, we've been dealing with the clinic in Kansas City, the Children's Mercy Clinic in Kansas City. And we actually just got an email one summer from Maggie's doctor, Dr. Brooke Sweeney, who is amazing. And she said, "Hey, I've been contacted by the Obesity Action Coalition to invite one of my patients to attend a conference in Florida. And would you guys be interested in going?" And anybody who knows Maggie knows that she likes to go, 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 go all the time. She's super social, super active, always has been. And so I said, yes, honestly, not having any idea what I was getting into, but it was life-changing. It was a life-changing weekend.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And, you know, I'll do a little plug for you here, Maggie. I'm not sure how entrepreneurial you are. It's probably too early to start thinking a lot about that, but I'm a public speaker by trade. I travel the country and go to events, and, you know, it requires some stage presence and, you know, being comfortable on a stage, which apparently a lot of people are afraid of. But you have a real opportunity as you graduate high school. If it's something that interests you, you could really travel the country and speak. I'm just right off the top, I'm thinking even sororities would hire you and college campuses would hire you to come talk about your journey, not just because you're successful and you look great, but because it's got all these other things we're talking about. It's controversial, it's got social impact, it's medical. But for you to just take it on and say, look, these are decisions I made, I'm confident with it, you'd have a great story to tell, and you'd be somebody that really could attract a lot of interest, and you can put yourself through college if that's something that's of interest to you. So we can talk about that later. That's just me and my entrepreneurial mind. I do want to get into, let's talk about that first event you went to. Was it awkward? I mean, I'll be a little more blunt than I've tried to be with my language here. Was it awkward being the fat girl that's not fat anymore at these events? You know what I mean? Like that's how people are treating you, right? Because that's kind of what your parents were saying, and the comments they get is the overweight girl is not overweight anymore. And they're like, oh, she's always been beautiful. But was that awkward at first? Is it still awkward?
Well, I mean, I feel like they more like were like just asking me, like, because like there was like teens that were there too. Mm-hmm. So like they invited other teens from like different places, like because like their doctors invited them. So there's like seven other teens there. So like, and they were gonna get surgery. Some of them were gonna get surgery too. Like some other teens that I know just got the surgery that I got. So like they were asking me questions about it and if they should get it. So like it was actually beneficial for me to have got it before them, because then they could ask me about my like how it helped me and ask me what it's like and like tell them like tips. And I don't know, I thought it was pretty cool how they asked me, even though like I'm younger than them, they were all older, like yeah. They were just older. It's like older guys. It was kind of weird.
Yeah
she hated that.
Yeah, that's cool. Hey, let's talk about the social impact. So you were 13 in an eighth grade, is that right, when you started dropping the weight, when you started the injections, or was it seventh grade?
It was October of eighth grade that you had surgery. So it would have been, it would have been like the beginning of eighth grade.
Okay.
Like in the summer, sometime between seventh and eighth grade, that she started injections.
Yes. Okay. So by Christmas of your eighth grade year, people are going, hey, what's going on with you? Are you sick? You're dropping weight. You're starting to get comfortable, but uncomfortable comments, right? So tell us about that.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, I feel like also I wore like the back, I wore like oversized shirts. No one really knew until like summertime when I had the surgery, like, and I was wearing swimsuits. Like if I was wearing like bathing suits, then you could really tell, because you know what I mean? Like you couldn't really tell unless I was wearing a bathing suit, because I wore baggy clothes.
So did your wardrobe start to change as a result? No more baggy clothes?
I mean, during the summer, it changed, but like now during the winter, I wear baggy clothes, because I mean, it's comfortable.
Yeah,
and it's pretty warm, but like,
yeah,
I think during the summertime, it changes.
Something to keep in mind too, is that with, you know, with big weight loss comes extra skin. And so she's still not, you know, completely comfortable in wearing, you know, she's not going to wear a crop top. There's just certain things that are on the market right now that her friends wear that she's still not comfortable wearing. They just don't fit her the same as they fit other kids. And she's.
Yeah, that's okay though. So do you have plans ultimately to address those kind of excess skin that exists when you lose weight? Or is it something you just don't care about and you're comfortable with?
We're trying to get an appointment for doing it this summer.
Yeah.
We have an appointment on the 29th of February.
Yeah, actually, that's something that we are kind of in the process of right now. And, you know, if you thought getting gastric sleeve surgery was difficult, getting that approved through insurance, boy, try anything cosmetic. That is definitely not something that insurance companies want to cover. And I mean, I get that, but yeah, we're kind of in the process of that right now.
Okay.
Talking about it, thinking about it, looking into it.
Okay. Okay, so let's talk about the first time one of your elementary slash middle school friends, you noticed something was changing. They were treating you differently. Was it an actual, you had a conversation with somebody that went south, or was it just, hey, mom, like Susie isn't calling me anymore, like, or texting me, or when did you start to realize your friends were maybe treating you a little differently because you were doing this massive weight loss and your appearance was different?
I feel like it was bell game. The whole.
It started the summer between her eighth grade year and her freshman year. That was a rough summer. There were a lot of tears, a lot of, and some of that was just anxiety about starting high school. And I totally get that because prior to that, she had been at a small Catholic school. And so she was getting ready to definitely start a new adventure. But
Yeah.
there were a lot of tears about, who am I going to hang out with? I really don't have any friends anymore.
And there was no cheer your freshman year, so you weren't going to the school during the summer. That's a big deal too, regardless of if you're on a weight loss journey. That's a big deal. Yeah, so I would imagine. And then you show up at high school and you know a handful of kids, but not a lot, right? Is that how it went? So how was it? Was it like the first week you're like, it's okay, mom, I'm liking it? Or was it still like, oh man, this is rough?
It was just a little awkward. I mean,
Yeah.
it wasn't like it was bad. It was just awkward. And then I feel like once I tried out for cheer, it was like February, I think. That's when everything started going uphill, I think, because that's when, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like once I tried out for cheer and I made the cheer team, like all the older girls. Pretty much the older girls, I like the older girls were my friends from the beginning, like since I came to high school, like since I came to high school my
Yeah.
freshman year, whenever the we call them, what can I say? Can I say it? Okay, we call them my bitchy friends. So since they left, like the older girls like invited me to parties and stuff, and
Okay.
then the other girls started getting jealous, and then they wanted to come back so that they could go to the parties too.
So interesting. I did read about that. And so some of your friends that were doing the silly, stupid middle school girl, let's freeze her out stuff, whether it was because of your weight loss and you might be prettier than them or whatever, all the normal stuff. So you actually were getting some acceptance and some doors open because, but before cheer, it sounds like. And do you attribute some of that to you girls being like, hey, she's kind of cute, let's hang out with her, or was that just something different that led to you being, an attractive friend to older girls? Yeah.
I
But then
don't
so cheerleading really opened that door. Once you're on the team, you have this new group you're part of, you're spending time with them every day.
Yeah, and I was like the only sophomore too. Like I was the only younger girl because the other two freshmen quit the cheer team. So I was like the only younger girl. And then I was all older girls on the cheer team. So I really had
Oh, that's
just
cool.
older girls, yeah, to hang out with.
Good for you. And so let's ask the question everybody's dying to know. The attention from the boys, was it different? And when did you start getting attention from boys who may not have paid attention to you when you were younger?
Did you think it was different? I cannot
Maybe we
answer
should
this
ask Dad this question. Dads have a
one.
keen sense of when that's going on, right?
So
So.
most of the attention from boys, I would say, has come from social media,
Okay.
not so much like local, like a boy from a school 30 miles away or, I don't know. Small towns are so weird. It kind of feels like you're dating your brother, So there's a lot of girls and boys that date outside of town. And I would say that that has been true for Maggie as well, that
Yeah.
suddenly it seemed like overnight there were like six boys on social media that she was talking to.
Yeah.
And that was definitely. I'm still having a hard time with that.
My kids have told me that dad is just different nowadays because social media makes you realize there's just not that many hot people at your school.
Oh my gosh.
Right? So whether that's true or not, Apparently, that's the perception. My daughter dated a boy from 3 hours away for like 2 years. So,
Perfect.
I get
Perfect.
that. Hey, tell us about just in general, like some friends that drifted away, and you say now they've come back, most of them or all of them.
Pretty much all of them, yeah.
Okay. And has your weight loss been a topic with them, or is that just something that doesn't come up?
It doesn't really come up at all. Like, I feel like it's more like a now that you're fixed type thing. Like, she's skinny now, we can hang out with her, like, type
Yeah.
deal.
Yeah. But the nice thing for you is you've lived on both sides of that wall, right? And so tell me one of the, I think, cool moments of the article is that once in a while a girl will sneak up to you and kind of say, "Hey, can I get the number for the doctor?" Or tell me how that makes you feel, and can you share an experience of where that happened?
Well, they don't. It's like it's weird because they don't really ask me. Like, they don't ask in person. They more like text it, like
Yeah.
because they're it's like they're embarrassed about it,
Sure.
like they because they private message me or they don't ask in person or like if I see them in person, they don't really talk about it. They like to text about it,
Yeah.
which I mean, I guess I understand, but like also, they don't like to talk about it in person, which I
Yeah.
think is a little bit weird, but.
So do
But
you
not
have people?
everybody has the confidence that you have. I mean,
Yeah.
some of those girls are in a very different place than you
Sure.
were, and they don't have, maybe a parent to support them or
True.
Well, and for a lot of people, Maggie, you've probably started to observe this because you're so keen and focused in this area. But for a lot of people, they didn't grow up with obesity challenges. It after puberty and when they get to college and high school, and I'm sure you've seen girls that are starting to add weight now that have always been skinny. And so it's a lifelong battle for lots of different reasons. So I just think the story is so cool, and I think it's just going to serve you well for the long term as a young lady, as you grow into adulthood, that you've been through this and you've had parents that have helped you understand the entirety and complexity of the situation, because it does hit you like a Mack truck in middle school. And we had a similar situation with one of our kids where we knew something would come up eventually, and all of a sudden it would matter to them when it hadn't mattered to them. And
Yeah.
having engaged parents is a really cool thing. Is there any other stories you can share just about this process before we wrap up that you would want people to know under the age of 15 that want to go on this journey, whether it has to do with the injections or just what they should think about and consider?
Something that you mentioned, the body positivity movement, that's not something that we were really aware of before we started working on the article for New York Magazine with, or The Cut with Lisa Miller. We had never heard of that before. That was something very new to us. And I just want to say that, if you're comfortable in the skin that you're in, that's great. And I wouldn't encourage anybody to do anything differently if they're happy and they're healthy. But for someone who is searching, I think it's so important to get a healthcare team, to work with somebody like an endocrinology or obesity clinic, because there's a lot of different things out there now and everybody is different. That's the one thing I really took away from that Obesity Action Coalition conference was that everybody really, so for years people said, oh, calories in, calories out. And that's not the whole story with metabolism and weight loss. And the human brain and the connection between the brain and the stomach are so complex and complicated. And what works for one person isn't going to work for everyone. And I think if you find yourself in a place where you are uncomfortable, don't let other people's perceptions about what you should be doing influence you. Be open to the tools that are available now that weren't available 10, 20, 30 years ago, and find somebody who's willing to help you on your journey.
Yeah. And
That's good.
you might have caught Maggie there showing you one of her good habits, drinking lots of water during the day out of her cup. So that's a little tip, of course, that everybody shares with you guys. If you are interested in learning more, listeners, we have a social community for those that are interested in learning more about semaglutide injections, the miracle weight loss drugs that are gaining so much popularity. You can go to my website, drjoshluke.com, and learn more about that community, where you can, once a week, we jump on, we talk about different things. I'm probably going to ask Maggie and Erica at some point to join us in there just to share some of these things, because people have lots of questions that I didn't think to ask. But you can check that out at drjoshluke.com. You can join that community. There's lots of benefits. So I wanted to share that before we wrap up. It's just been a great couple of interviews here. I wanted to ask Erica, because Maggie already got to share, but Erica, what's one of your favorite healthy meals that, man, even if you eat a bunch of it at a meal, you're like, well, that was healthy, so I'm not worried about it.
Well, we are not big calorie counters, because I find that overwhelming and stressful. Yeah. But I really like to stir fry veggies, and our big one is broccoli and Brussels sprouts. That's our favorite. Carrots, Brussels sprouts, and broccoli. And I just saute them and steam them down in a little bit of beef broth. And we really like, I know this is going to sound crazy, but we are big quinoa fans.
Oh yeah.
And so cool. Just roasted or stir fried vegetables in quinoa. That's probably one of our go-tos a couple Love times
it.
A week.
Love yeah. it. Stays good in Tupperware too for a meal on the run.
It
so
does. It does.
Thank you guys so much. Maggie, I just want to say again, for what it's worth, from a stranger, I'm so proud of you on your journey and your strength as a young woman, as a girl dad. It's an awesome thing to see. Stay on that journey. You have not just your family, but a lot of people that are pulling for you. Just to be strong, not so much about your weight loss, but just to take on this issue that can be so socially challenging. So congratulations to you and your family. And we really appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Thank you. Absolutely. I think our big goal here is just to help end some of the judgment surrounding weight.
Yeah.
Whether you're big or small.
Let's take 60 extra seconds. We talked about body positivity. Yeah, it's great. You know, I have friends that are oversized plus, I don't want to say models, but social media influencers, that it's not about being on one side or the other. It's about being comfortable in your own skin and supporting everybody on their
supporting
journey.
Each other in their journey of life, regardless of what it's about. Absolutely.
And moving past the whole middle school stuff that we all have had to deal with. So thank you again for joining the show, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the OOO Ozempic and Semaglutide podcast. Dr. Josh Luke is a PhD, but not a medical doctor, and none of his comments or comments of his guests are intended to be medical advice. Make sure to like, follow, share, and subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back soon with a new episode.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.